straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
You heard the lady on Second Thought, episode 131, powered by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden, and I'm joined by the Duck, Kirk Bowles. We're 131 episodes in, and we have landed another Longhorn legend, Duck.
He is royalty, none other than the Lance Blanks. Lance, how are you?
Doing great, Kirk. Good to hear your voice. Thanks for asking, buddy.
Well, Lance, if you're looking for, you know, you don't need credibility, but we just added you to a long line of UT legends. That includes the illustrious Earl Campbell. That's pretty good. That's pretty. Hey, Lance Blanks and Earl Campbell. You can't say one without the other.
I'll tell you what. To have my name mentioned by you two guys with Earl Campbell along with it. I'm just an old hard-working dude from southwest part of Houston. I mean, I never could have thought that that would ever happen in my life. So stop the presses, and I feel pretty good about it.
Well, nowadays, nowadays when you hear stop the presses, it's not good news in newspapers. A lot of presses are stopping, unfortunately. But that's why we're doing a podcast, sir. But, hey, do you fill out an NCAA bracket because the games are getting started?
No, sir, I don't, unless I'm forced to. I usually do a little consultation, but I don't necessarily fill one out. I don't work in the traditional office environment, so I get pushed out of that stuff.
Do you do a
med? Are those gone too? Are offices gone as well as presses?
No, we still got an office we come to.
So, last we check, do have an office.
We have to make sure our security IDs check us and get us through every day. But I guess you probably do a Final Four bracket mentally to a certain point, do you not, Lance? Because you are Mr. College Basketball and you keep up with it. Obviously, you're doing the TCU game last night. So you do one mentally, don't you?
I do. That's fair. You're kind of forcing me into a yes answer there, Kirk, which is good job. So sure, I do one mentally, and also have a little Sweet 16 deal that I do every year. In fact, if you guys are nice to me to the end here, I might invite you guys to play. Because there's so many upsets and there's so many coin toss games in this first weekend, man, and people are miserable, I do a Sweet 16 pull, which is just as frustrating and difficult to pick. But answering your question, yes, sir, I do a mental Final Four.
So do you have are you ready to share your Final Four, since this broadcast is airing Thursday and the games will be beginning very soon? Do you have your Final Four? Do you want to unveil to us?
Well, you're opening up these questions a little bit. So if you want me to be honest, not really, because, Kirk, you caught me off guard, buddy. I'm not looking at a bracket. I mean, it's the usual suspect. You know, Duke and Virginia. Can Virginia, by the way, I'm a dual alumni, or as an alum.
Yes, you are.
Word Smith, Kirk.
The former Cav. Okay. You are right.
Right. Okay, so we got, can Virginia get through these tough games that they experienced? I mean, they had a Final Four. They were up on Syracuse to go in Houston a few years back, and then UMBC. So Virginia, I mean, eventually they're going to get there. Who am I? Gonzaga, I'm not as confident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not feeling that as much. And then we got a third ACC school, right? UNC?
Yeah, Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I think, here, I'm going to give you this. I would say 50% of the number one pool, number one seed, will get there. 50%.
Mm-hmm. 50%. Okay.
50%. I'd rather say that right now, since I'm not looking at my bracket and and I don't want to just throw something crazy out since you're going to air this on Thursday and have people mad at me, but I'm going to say 50%. You pick the way you want to go, but 50% of that, those number one seeds will get there.
Well, do you know the last time all four number one seeds made it to the Final Four? Do you even know?
Not long ago.
It was 2008. Mm-hmm. 2008.
That's not long ago.
That's 11 years ago.
Yeah, but that's all four number ones. That's not going to always happen.
Well, since 2010, there have been 36 Final Four teams. Only 12 have been one seeds. So, like Lance said, upsets happen. And as a Virginia alum, I'm glad you think that the Cavs have a decent shot, because Cedric Golden's got Virginia in his final, too.
Got him winning it. And I think Tony Bennett has figured out that you can't walk the ball up if you're down eight with 6 minutes to go.
Got to score.
He's got a little bit of tempo going, and I think they can make enough shots, and we know that they always play really good defense. If they can come through that bracket, I think that they have a chance, but that's a tough quadrant.
They've never won at all. Virginia and Gonzaga have never won at all, and they're both one seed. So
how about that? Ralph Sampson played there, and they never won a national championship.
How about that? So you like Virginia?
Nice job, Sid, on the Ralph reference.
Oh yeah.
With Virginia, I have to admit, I've got some fan in me with Virginia in terms of wanting Virginia to do well. My daughters went there, and of course, I spent some time there and have a lot of friends there, and feel like at some level, I'm a part of that. I'm a UVA alum and a Longhorn for life, so however you want to equate that.
Right.
But, Kirk, in answering that question, and said, referencing your point about the 8 points down and walking the ball up, I would say the challenge really is UVA just can't get down. Because when they get down, and what I've seen in tournament play, it's a whole different animal in terms of how you have to play the game to get back in it. And UVA has struggled with that. Now, having said that, it's very difficult because they're so disciplined, they're so deliberate, particularly on the defensive end. It is really hard to score unless you got a team like Duke and you can just jump over them. It is hard to get a lead on that team. It's virtually impossible.
But it wasn't too hard for UMBC last year. You know, Maryland, Baltimore County.
They were making everything.
But the first 16 seed to ever beat a one, it was Lance's Virginia Cavaliers. So were you shocked last year when a 16 finally won, Lance?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. At the same time, though, Kurt, if you and Michael Jordan lined up in a one-on-one and you had the ball first, and you were playing a game to one, if you just threw it up and that ball went in,
right,
you would win that one-on-one.
I would so take MJ. It wouldn't even be a fair fight.
I wouldn't go there. So my point is, of course, it's the tournament. You just got to have a 40-minute miracle. And stranger things have happened. So yep. I could see that. They spread Virginia out. Use their speed and quickness, got a huge lead, game over.
And I think, what I think that's happened this year is I watched a couple of their games, and Tony has a plan B now. Yeah, I've seen them do some selective fast breaking. They're picking their spots when they can go up tempo. Now, they're going to always be the deliberate of Virginia. But I think that this time, if they fall behind, and I'm looking at their bracket, and you don't want to fall behind against a Villanova, but a K-State will let you back in the game, and Ole Miss will let you back in the game. But if it comes down to it against, let's say, a Tennessee or a Villanova, then they could be in some trouble. But those games aren't till later. I think they'll be okay early on.
And speaking of Tennessee, go ahead, Lance.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, Kurt. Let me add one little caveat to the UVA discussion.
Okay.
So you all just asked me something about how many Final Four teams that were the number one seed have all gotten to the Final Four. Okay. Here's my question. How many of these UVA teams that have gotten upset have had a top 15 pick on them? I'm literally asking that. How many of the UVA teams in the recent past that where UVA has been ranked one or two, either during the season and or in their seed, how many of those teams had a
probably
top
none of them?
Team? Okay.
Yep.
What about not even with Ralph Sampson and Othell Wilson?
Well,
if you go back that far,
okay. Yeah, well, if we go back 40 years, okay. I'm talking in the last 8 years, 7 years.
Right. They don't have guys. They don't have guys that proliferate the league. They don't send guys to the league in big numbers.
Okay. So my point is, this year they have that. Hunter is a player.
Yes, right. Sir. Yes,
they
sir.
They have other guys. So they have something that's a little different, because when your system, when you rely heavily on your system, as UVA does, and the system breaks down, there's no plan B. Well, now they got a plan B. Talent can get it done for you, and they have talent that is as impressive, if not more in some cases, than the system.
Well, they do, no question about it. And everybody says Duke has more talent than anybody. You look at this Duke team. Is it one of the best teams of all time?
No way.
No.
Why do you even ask no. that? Come on. Well, you're better than
no.
that, Bowles.
I'm leading the witness.
You're talking to Lance Blanks. He's not going to fall for that poison cheese.
They're a clear favorite of number one.
Oh, my God.
46% of ballots have Duke winning it all, okay? Zion Williamson, you know, there's never been a player like him, has there?
Yes, sir. That's Charles Barkley. Come on.
No.
Same guy.
This guy weighs, what, 280?
And Charles weighed 300. No, what's your point?
This guy, just as high. The way he runs the floor, and do you see a Charles Barkley in Zion Williamson, Lance?
You know what? I think that's a heck of a comparison.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, they got the same
really
body type.
You keep confusing me, though, Kirk, because one minute you make me frown, and the next minute I'm smiling. That's impressive. The stuff about the all-time best. See, here's one thing I get frustrated with, guys, on the all-time great, whether it be players or teams. First off, it's incredibly difficult to compare eras.
Sure.
Okay. But if you're going to do it, we can't have a short-term memory.
Thank you.
And then we also have to define what best means. Does best mean anecdotal and empirical evidence, or does it mean by winning and how many games you won? Yes, winning has to be a factor, but what does best mean? Because I will tell you the best, bar none, that's really easy by my standard. But how much do you factor winning in best?
Well,
you have to.
It does have to factor in, but you look at UNLV when they win and then they lose to Duke, you know.
To a great Duke team.
To
though.
A great Duke team, and those were two of the best teams ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that UNLV team didn't win. But it might have been one of the best ever. Phi Slammajama.
They didn't win one game.
Losing to North Carolina State. But you got
right.
You got Akeem and Clyde and Geddes and Michael Young. That was one of the all-time great teams. So it is.
And what about the Villanova team, I think? I want to say 85.
They beat Georgetown.
85 or 86, they beat Georgetown.
Right. And it lost to an 8 seed. Well, they took the air out of the ball. I mean, they're all kind of examples where the best team doesn't win. And that's why I don't pick Duke, because to me it's no fun picking Duke anyway. But this is a Duke team that may have three of the top four lottery picks, you know, in Williamson and Reddish and JT Barrett. So it depends on your definition, and you know, it depends on how you want to define it. But
here's my thing on Duke, and I'll get Lance. I want you to weigh in for sure. If one of those top two big dogs, if Barrett or Williamson falters, I don't know that those other guys are going to be able to pick up the slack in a tournament that's all about shot making, and they are not a good three-point shooting
team.
They're
the worst.
So
they're the worst of the 64.
This is a guards game, man, and I just don't know that they are going to be good enough to win all of those games and make quality perimeter jumpers for a sustained amount of time, which is 2 weeks in a tournament. So I would not be shocked if they got beat around Sweet 16 time.
Yeah, okay. So here's my opinion of what you just said. Um, I think that's fair in a perfect world. To your point, that you have to be able to shoot and quote unquote get hot. I would add an element when we're talking about winning a title or a championship, particularly, especially in the NBA, but I think in this case, even in college. So you can get hot, like these quote-unquote Cinderella teams, as you know, usually they'll get hot, they mm-hmm. get in the tournament, they get in the Final Four, et cetera, and then they get thumped. And I think the reason that these teams get what I call thumped is because when you have a team like Duke and an assembly of talent like Duke, you can punch different buttons. What if you're not scoring from the perimeter in terms of making a bunch of shots? Well, they can go to plan B and beat you up inside. Zion is a man amongst boys.
Absolutely.
I saw that when they played UVA, to your old point. Not a great shooting team. They shot UVA out the gym. I watched the game live. My point is they're dynamic. There are multiple ways that they can beat you. I don't think, just have to rely on jump shots. Cinderella does. Cinderella's mm-hmm. got to keep getting lucky.
Right.
Sort of like Kurt, when he beats Michael and they say, okay, well, let's make it 3 out of 4.
Wait a minute.
That's 4 out of 7. Kurt's going to go, oh, shoot, I got to make that shot again.
I'm in trouble.
You got to make it again.
No, you're exactly right.
Okay, fair enough. So my point is Duke has multiple ways they can beat you because the talent situation is so ridiculous.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, one team that will not win this year's national championship is your Texas Longhorns.
Easy, Tiger, easy.
They didn't make the tournament. They made the other tournament. Sid and I were there on a Tuesday night when they dispatched those rugged South Dakota State Jackrabbits.
In front of 1,739 screaming fans.
And that counts us. That counts you and me, Sid.
Lance, it was awful.
Lance.
Sid, I saw it on TV, and, man, what the heck? We had that in practice.
Wow!
Like one of what was going on with that? No, seriously, I was like, what the? What was that?
We'll tell you what was going on. Cedric and I talked about it up in the mezzanine, where the press box is, and the fan base has checked out. It's as simple as that, isn't it, Sid?
Yeah, they've checked out. I'm going to tell you, Lance, you pull into the health center garage over on Trinity.
Right.
And, man, I roll through that thing, and I'm sitting there going, wait, man, the game's at 8, and it's like 6:30. Usually it's filling up a little bit.
Right.
There were like 30 cars in that parking lot, in that parking garage. And I strolled through security.
Yeah.
I mean, there was no waiting. It was amazing.
You had plenty of elbow room if you were one of those 1,700.
Lance, do you think with this next game they're going to play in the second round of the NIT, do you think that they can salvage any kind of respectability with this fan base?
Well, in terms of that game, I think that is what it is. I think it's a perfect storm of you guys are suggesting fan disenfranchised with mm-hmm. the team.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Is that a fair way to say?
Yes.
I don't want to put words in you all.
No, that's
okay.
I would use that word.
More than fair.
Okay, so I would say that's one. I'll put that on the list. Mm-hmm. I'd also put it's almost like, I'm not bailing out on you, Sid, with your question, but I'd almost put some of this on the NCAA in that they almost discourage you to watch.
How so?
Unless you have a rabid fan base, it's like this is almost undermarketed.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that element, and then this kind of goes back to one a little bit, but you got a team that has struggled and limped into the finish line,
mm-hmm.
that being Texas, wow. late here in the season. And then the fourth one is, it's Austin, and the weather is nice, and there's plenty to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're competing with a very vibrant entertainment menu within a city
spring
that is
break.
Fun to go do other things. So
and it's spring
I think
break.
The culmination of those four things
mm-hmm. right.
get you, which would have been a 1989-1990 open practice fan base.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That said, they're now sitting at 17-16. In year four, Shaka just now, this week, won his first postseason tournament game.
Did he?
As a Texas coach.
Did he win a postseason game?
NIT count. Stop it. Stop
it.
They won his first postseason. His record 67-66. How do you evaluate Shaka Smart program in year four?
Okay. So I'm glad you asked this question. So let me start by saying this. I've been as hard and objective with the program and Shaka as anyone. And I will start by saying we have to allow Shaka to do what I call run through the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is make this program go or make it not go. And he is still in the midst of that. Now, that's not like any special news.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. Now, by the numbers and his record, I'm 100% sure. I've actually broached this with him. I'm 100% sure Shaka would say that the record that he's established over his four seasons, or almost four seasons, is underwhelming.
Absolutely.
Less than impressive.
He said
it. Not a reflective reflection of who he is.
Right.
Okay. So then the question is, why is that? I think Shaka has not found his comfort level within the UT, Austin, Texas ecosystem.
So,
whether it be recruiting, whether it be level, whether it be all the responsibilities and the distractions and otherwise. And I think that's manifested itself in a, what'd you say, 67-66 record?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lance, that's similar to what Charlie Strong went through, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And I would agree. And I would also say, let's give him a chance to succeed or fail at it. And by failure, 500, he knows is not good enough. That's not a secret. And so now, here's my question back to you in answering your question.
Okay.
If he ends up in New York.
Okay.
If he ends up in New York in this tournament, in the final game and or winning the tournament, NIT.
Okay.
Grade the season in terms of success, failure, or the like.
I'm still going to say F. And they didn't bring him in here to win the NIT. They brought him in here to win in the NCAAs. You're a Longhorn legend. You played the game at a high level, played on some of the greatest teams in program history. And you know the expectations that are attached. When you decided to come here, you knew what the expectations were. Shaka Smart did too, and he's rewarded handsomely, paid handsomely as a result. If I told Shaka told us last week that they haven't gotten as far along as he thought they'd be. Winning the NIT would be a good thing for him as a coach and for the program, but for the fan base overall, it might provide a little bit of hope, but they'll still be wondering, is this the guy? He just won the NIT against some other underachieving teams, so I don't know that that's going to be a boon for next season.
I'd go one step further, Lance. I don't think, honestly, I don't think it'd mean a hell of a beans to the Texas fans, because 1,700, barely 1,700 were interested enough to see him play a first-round NIT game.
$14 you know, tickets, $14 a ticket.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a movie.
I just, as Cedric accurately put it, he didn't come here to win the NIT or to get to New York. And, yeah, it'll be better than where they are right now, no question about it. But it's very similar to Charlie Strong's finish. Charlie lost at Kansas his last year, third year, and that's about as unacceptable as you can get in college football. And for Shaka to be here 4 years without one NCAA tournament win in 4 years to too many people is unacceptable. Now, we haven't talked about the price tag, and it's easy for me and Sid to sit here and tell people how to spend their money. And a $13 million buyout is not pocket change. So I understand that dynamic of it after they've spent up to $30 million buying out Charlie Strong, Steve Patterson, paying Tom Herman's buyout at Houston. You know, they, I'm not saying they're strapped for money, but they've had to shell out a lot of money. But it's almost a little bit apples and oranges. And I don't know what it's taking. You know, you talked about... You know, does he fit in? He hadn't had a chance yet. I don't know. What do you think is a fair chance to accurately evaluate Shaka Smart as a coach?
Well, when you ask that question, what's a fair chance? Really, what at the end of the day, really what you're asking, and you, anybody,
mm-hmm.
is time.
Mm-hmm.
What's the time window? What's the right. time assessment?
Right.
Right? Because
yes.
now... Pardon the comparison, but you all are both Sid. I know you are. Cedric, I didn't even ask if I could call you Sid. I'm doing it, and I don't hear Kirk doing it.
He's got so much
more.
Worse.
There are more people call me Sid than Cedric, so I love it.
Oh, okay, great. So, Sid, you and Kirk know this. You've heard of the infamous Bill Belichick.
Yes, Cleveland Browns fired him, yes.
Okay, you're two steps ahead of me, okay? So now sometimes that's about fit, situation, et cetera. And so I'm not suggesting that – I'm not trying to make the comparison necessarily in coaching, and that's not a slap at either one. What I'm comparing is time is really the issue. We have to give him the appropriate amount of time if you're going to ask the question – regarding his success. And so to me, and I know this likely will sound really like a cop out and corny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you stop the film rolling, if you stop the analysis right here, man, not exciting.
Right.
But I tell you what, I think you got to give him one more season
mm-hmm.
to allow him to what I call thriller succeed.
Mm-hmm.
500. Okay. If he's 500 this time next year, below 500, 3 to 4 games above 500, not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
I think I personally have to see it one more year. The other thing we're saying is a measurement for success is only winning, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that to be 100% true. In the college landscape, especially with what they're claiming to sell. I saw some comments from CDC
mm-hmm.
about integrity.
Yes.
Right? How you run your program, having a clean. Those things have to be in college. Now, if we were talking about an MBA gig, it would be different. But those have to have some level of measurement and value with them, along with winning. Otherwise, it's just a farce, and what you're putting out there is fake.
Mm-hmm.
In that it's not necessarily about the wholeness and health of the quote-unquote student-athlete, but it's only about W's and L's. And if that's the case, then great, just say that.
Right.
And that's what we'll evaluate it on only.
And it's a big business, we all know that, but it's also about fairness. And you mentioned the integrity word. It's probably more critical now, given this era of FBI wiretaps and subpoenas and assistant coaches going to prison. And so, you know, that is something that should not be dismissed. I think Sid would agree with me on that. The problem I have, besides just the record, and we all believe Shaka has integrity, is what is the identity? Has Shaka established an identity that the administration and the fan base can feel comfortable that it's going to get done by next year? Do you see an identity yet, a clear identity, Lance?
No, Kirk, the reason that you are one of my favorites of all time is when you ask questions, you love to ask the ones you know the answer to already.
Oh, my God. We had that conversation earlier. Oh, my God.
I know he does that.
He's the king of that.
He's I love it, though. He's done this for years, and I love when he does it. And I'm going to throw one out at you, Kurt, that'll be perfect. But let me answer that one you asked about identity.
Okay.
At the end, here's my response to that.
Okay.
Right now, the identity, he has an identity of being subpar and or average in terms of success.
Okay.
Do you know any teams that have won and haven't had an identity? Or haven't had an identity and won? In other words, that's really what we're talking about.
It is what we're talking about. But
yeah,
you know
if
what?
They were pressing and going crazy and had havoc and chaos on the court and they were losing, who cares? Okay,
right,
yeah.
Right.
They press. That's their identity, but they're still 500.
That's a great point.
Right?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. No, it comes back to the wins and losses. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's all. That's
well, and you mentioned the havoc. People want to know, why isn't he doing havoc here? We always thinking, well, because now he can recruit 5 stars, but that hadn't succeeded. So
Mo Bamba wasn't coming down here to
no
press.
No way. He wasn't.
All right, I got a question for you, Kurt.
Okay.
I got one for you.
I hate how he's
this
turning
is my
this.
My response to your identity, and I truly want to know.
Okay.
Because I don't think it would be fair for me and said to speak on this. It as from our perspective, as much as it would be from your perspective. So, Kurt, do you think, in terms of to your point, identity, comfort, UT, the brand, Texas, Austin, etc. Do you think the African American element of Shaka and his essence as a man comes into play anywhere in this process of him being at a university where they've never had until this era a Charlie Strong or a Shaka Smart, from your perspective?
Absolutely, it does. The color of his skin had a lot to do with him hiring, whether you fire him, whether you don't fire him, because there will be a segment of this fan base, of any fan base, that may or may not accept him because of the color of skin. I think it'd be silly and irresponsible to think that never comes up in the conversation or in person's evaluation, I think. Just the fact that you said Charlie Strong was the first African-American coach that was ever here in football. And I think firing him after 3 years was not a decision that the administration took lightly. They wanted him to succeed. That's why the school president got on a private plane to Tulsa to bring him an offensive coordinator. They desperately wanted it to happen and for Charlie to have success. And I feel like the same way with Shaka Smart. When Steve Patterson was on board with hiring both Shaka and Charlie, I think, you know, he and Bill Powers were thinking they were making a statement by hiring the first black football and basketball coaches. By the same token, if you then turn around and fire them, some people are going to say, well, maybe it was partly the color of their skin. So, yes, I think it was an element in all of this, and I think it'd be foolish to dismiss it.
And I'm gonna take it a step farther, and I will speak on this as a fellow African-American, is my guy, Lance. This Shaka Smart, if this thing turns out to be the failure that it's been so far, it's going to have repercussions for generations. You may not see another black head football or basketball coach at the University of Texas. You may not. I'm not saying that it's not going to happen, but Shaka and Charlie didn't get it done in the win column, and there are going to be a faction of people out there, and I know they wouldn't admit it publicly, but they're out there because we hear things that are going to go, I told you so. I told you it wouldn't work here. And so the fact that those guys haven't won it was a big deal that they were hired, but them not winning may have set it back. I don't know that it's I don't know how many years are going to pass before you see another man of color get hired in one of those two jobs.
No, Sid, you're exactly right, because we could just go back to Red McCombs' off-the-cuff remark that, well, I think Charlie Strong might make a good coordinator. I mean, that resonated at the time he said it, and for the next 3 years.
Need one a Sugar Bowl.
And I think it spoke for a portion of the fan base. And I agree with you, Sid. I think it will be a setback, and you hate to see it for that reason.
Okay. Yeah. All right, this is great. Go ahead.
Did we answer your question?
You so answered my question, and I so appreciate both of your candor and perspectives, because we all have a little bit of a different perspective in general, and so answered so well, and I'm just going to pour a little bit of, not in a negative sense, but a little bit of gasoline on this to give the perspective of being the first.
Okay.
I know it from my dad's experience in college there in the state of Texas, and I know it from my own experience when I was at the Phoenix Suns. And what I will add to what you said, from the perspective of the person who is the first, there it's somewhere in your psyche. Most of the time, not all of the time, it's somewhere in your psyche. And because of that, what I'm hopeful, and I'm not in the room, obviously, making those decisions, but I'm hopeful that the university allows, and or the athletic administration allows for some settling in of that, for him to have a chance to truly fail or succeed on his own merits.
I love that.
He, Shaka, can't get it done, take him away. He mm-hmm. can't get it done.
Right.
And if he's proven at one place he can get it done. And what I will tell you is go look at the 1947, 48, 49, 50 NBA champions. And you'll laugh. Not, and I'm not trying to be fun, not in a negative way, but in other words, obviously there were other talented people who could play the sport and play it well as we see today. And so Shaka has proven he can be successful. He's proven he can run a program.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give him a chance to succeed or fail.
Right.
On his own merits.
Right.
Lance, I've said this many times, and I will say it again. The playing field will be level when African-American coaches are allowed to suck and get jobs after they suck, like some of these other white coaches that keep getting recycled and recycled. A black man can't have a bad gig. I mean, Charlie Strong, it was good to see him get another job. Sly Kroom's not coaching anywhere else.
Hey, how about the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah.
Got 1 year.
So, yeah, and Steve Wilks gets fired after 1 year.
Right.
And you don't see Steve Wilks interviewing for head coaching jobs.
No, you don't.
Then and only then will we know that the playing field is level, when black men can fail and also qualify to get head coaching jobs again. It shouldn't be that they're expected to be great. It just shouldn't be that way.
That's Sarah, well said. And my only addition to that would be great in the wink of an eye.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirk, I'm not sitting here. I don't want to sound like I'm falling on the sword for Shaka in terms of him not being evaluated and have the expectations of any coach, regardless of race. What I am saying, though, is, okay, this is new, uncharted territory for a man of his ilk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
At this level.
Right.
Let's give him a chance to prove that he's not good enough,
mm-hmm.
or that he's good enough to. One of our challenges is we have a precedent for him showing what we all want from Shaka.
Mm-hmm.
God, man, how did you do that at VCU? That mm-hmm. looks freaking impossible.
Right.
Well, would you bring a little bit of that to Texas for us and sprinkle some of that dust on out mm-hmm. on our program? We're all waiting for it. We've seen little small glimpses, but I'm with you in the evaluation. We want to see the rest of that. Give him another year.
Mm-hmm.
Give him another 12 months and say, nah, you know. And he, in his heart of hearts, I guarantee you Shaka knows and or feels the wrath mm-hmm. of the fan base and or his ability to do this or not.
Right. Yeah, he's internalizing. No question about
it. No question.
It's just got to be eating him alive. So But
he's too smart.
Yeah. Well, we all think he's going to come back. Price tag or whatever reasons, and fairness and accountability and all that needs to go in any decision, as you well know. And you articulated it very well, my friend, as always. And we look forward to seeing you on the tube again soon.
What a great conversation.
And you need to come back more often, okay?
Yay, anytime. For you, Kirk, to hear those questions, man, I'll do it anytime. And, Kirk, and you didn't tell me Sad was this much of the man.
He rocks.
Poise and delivery and his analytical skills are impressive.
Just like you, Lance, I was an exceptional basketball player. I just didn't make it out of the Tyler Catholic League.
Now, could beat Michael Jordan 3 out of 4. I might get one lucky shot, but Sid was a phenom at Tyler.
Hey, I played against Al Horford's dad for a state championship back in the day.
Yes, he did. That's a true story. So, Lance, take care, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, guys. Y'all have a great rest of the day.
All right, thanks. You too, buddy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, man. Bye. Bye, Kirk.
On Second Thought.
Duck, I think Lance Blanks just blew up the Bud Light hotline here in the dungeon. That was one of the better basketball conversations I've ever had. And it was kind of cool to talk to a person that played at such a high level,
right,
and has been a GM. Those kind of guys, yeah, are hard to come by. And he has a grasp. The dude knows what he's talking about.
You know, he brings it and he's real. And like you said, he does Longhorn Network. He does Texas basketball game, so he does know what he's talking about. And boy, it's just a pleasure having that conversation with him.
You know what? And you know, real quick, let's just hit on our brackets. And I know you're going to come after me for, why don't you just go on and get it out of the way?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at your bracket right now. You got Virginia over Gonzaga. You know, wow, going chalk. You know, really wild way to be out there on the limb. But neither one of those have ever won a national championship, so. You know, I will give you that. And it is a different Virginia team.
What else are you going to give me?
What else am I going to give you? Well, you got Florida winning 3 games. I mean, come on. I mean, the Gators were lucky to get into the tournament. I got them losing to Nevada, you know, 7-10 in the first round. Nevada is the most experienced team in this tournament, yeah, I'll have you know.
Those are teams that get beat usually.
They beat the Horns last year, so you know they have to
who
be
didn't?
Good.
Who
Nevada.
Didn't? Who didn't beat the Horns last year?
Well, that's true. That's
well,
a
here's
good point.
The thing. Here's the thing. We wrote columns, yes, on statesman.com about our brackets.
Right.
I decided I was going to take my idea, my column, and incorporate it into my bracket. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to just go with some SEC teams. I've liked what I've seen from a Kentucky, from a Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Those teams, Auburn has just won the SEC title, the conference tournament. And so I decided I was going to go SEC heavy,
right,
for my 8 Elite Eight or SEC teams. So that's how I did it, and I did it under deadline. It's not like I had time to sit down and really –
sports fan. This
here
is,
comes what?
This
what are you
where,
talking about?
This is where it says got 5 brackets, and yours truly has 1 bracket of integrity.
When have I ever filled out 5 brackets?
I don't know, probably every year.
That's
right?
Not true.
What is it? 4, 6?
No.
How many?
2.
It's multiple. It's
2.
Always multiple.
I'm
just saying, have some conviction, my friend.
The 1 year, you know, that the 1 year I rolled with my statesman bracket in the office pool,
uh-huh,
I finished 2 points ahead of a dead man. So I'm not, that ain't happening anymore, dog. So.
You know what's sad though? I'm giving you grief here. I'm looking at your bracket. Your final 8. I've got 6 of them in mine, so we're not that different. So
we both suck.
You've got Florida, which ain't going to happen, reaching the Elite 8. You got LSU in the Elite 8, which isn't going to happen. So, but yeah, our brackets are kind of remarkably similar.
Well, here's the thing.
I've got Kentucky over Duke.
Well, here's what I did, Professor. I wrote in my column that it's not once you get to the Elite 8 and
mm-hmm,
and further to the Final Four and the
right,
championship,
right,
chalk starts to take over. It's very chalky.
Well, they got all the nerves out of the way. They've gotten into a rhythm now.
But it's in those first couple of rounds where I took some chances.
So how much are we betting that Florida doesn't get to the Elite 8?
We're not betting. I'll
bet you $1.
I'm not going to gamble with you.
You have no conviction.
I'm not gambling with
you.
Have
some faith, my friend.
Why are you reaching to Florida to try to
because I know how to get to your heart. It's through your wallet. I know.
I don't have a wallet.
So what do you think of my my bracket?
Okay, let me look at this piece of crap.
First of all,
if you're reading your Austin American Statesman, Kirk Bowles' penmanship is great, but he writes like he's
it's a bad printer.
Like he's writing through a
I write small
through a looking glass.
Very precise.
Murray State winning two games, laughable.
John Morant, I love it. John Morant is going to own this tournament.
Kansas winning two games, that's not going to happen. Kansas not getting out of the second round, dog. They're not very good this year.
I've got Auburn. You got Auburn advancing. I got them losing to New Mexico State, a 30-win Aggies team.
Yeah, okay, and then I look in your Final Four, Duke, Michigan. You got John Beeline.
I like Beeline
a lot, too.
I almost had Tech beating Michigan. You
homered up.
How's that?
You homered up for Rick Barnes.
Yeah, I know.
To beat Tennessee in the Elite Eight.
I've got a soft spot for Rick.
And then you picked Calipari, one of your coaching favorites, and you put Go Cats your column. What a homer. What a suck-up you are.
But this will be the only bracket I fill out.
Yeah.
Unlike some people I know.
Yeah, because you can't figure out the scanner at your house. So anyway.
That's another reason.
Oh, what is that? UC.
Where? UC Irvine.
UC Irvine to the Sweet 16, Duck?
They're taking out K-State, which doesn't have Dean Wade.
They haven't had Dean Wade all season.
And has trouble scoring. So, I got them beating K-State and then beating Oregon out of that dog-ass Pac-12. Of a conference.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to bet you lunch that my bracket's better than yours.
Lunch? How we decide bracket? I don't know. Which bracket are you talking about?
I'll roll my statesman bracket against your statesman bracket. I'll bet you lunch at Lotus.
Well, I mean, we got to figure out how many points per
win. We're both entering the Kevin Lytle office pool, so we'll let those.
Yours will be different. We'll have to discuss
I guess we will discuss it off the air.
Yes, we will.
And we'll
It's been a fun show.
It has been a fun show.
Lance was great.
We got to thank Lance Blanks for joining us on Second Thought. We got to thank our producer, Adam Fish, for putting everything together.
And Bud Light
for sponsoring. Next week, Duckster, next week we're going to be at the Dale World Golf Championships.
We'll be the Tiger Trackers.
And Tiger Woods will be in the mix. I'm going to leave the podcast right now and go park because I want to save a spot.
Better get there early.
For Eldrick. So for the Duck, I'm Sed Golden. We'll see you next time on Second Thought.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.